the past 2 weeks, we have endeavored to study together the theme of humility. If ever there has been a need within the Christian community, the need today really still is that of humility. From the very beginning of time and since the fall of man, man's greatest sin that has plagued him and continues to plague him today is the sin of our pride. Satan, from the very beginning, has been able to keep man from knowing the blessings of God, the blessings that he intended us, by keeping us ensnared and enticed by the pride of our own life. We have talked about in the past couple of weeks that humility is the basis for our right relationship with the Lord. We understand that because it was by humility that the Son of God came into this earth and gave his life a ransom for us. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because of his humbling act and coming to Calvary's cross, he provided redemption by that sacrifice on Calvary. It is only as man accepts that work of Jesus Christ and humbles himself and realizes that he has nothing in and of himself that is able to save, and he rejects his own way and turns to Jesus Christ, it is only through that act of humility and belief on Jesus Christ that a man can be saved. In fact, it is only by humility that you and I can walk in the victory that Jesus Christ provided for us on the cross of Calvary. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're given those wonderful words that thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only as you and I realize that we cannot save ourselves, nor can we do that which is necessary to sanctify ourselves and come and give ourselves fully over to God, can we walk in that victory that he has given and provided. It is by humility that man has been saved. It is by humility that we have that right relationship with God and walk in that victory. The need today of mankind is a need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Jesus Christ freed us from sin and Satan's power. But what so often keeps us back in that bondage of those things is our pride. We have said that humility in its essence is learning to let go of self. As the scripture says, to die to self and allow the life of Christ to live through us. Paul said it this way, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Humility is us becoming nothing and giving God his rightful place of being everything, our all in all. This morning I want to continue our study of the theme of humility. And I want to move away from the theory of humility and I want to focus our thoughts on the practice of this important grace. It is one thing to talk about the need of humility. It is one thing to say that we are developing the grace of humility within our life, but it is quite another to actually put this grace into effect in our daily conduct. Before we consider these things together, though, this morning, I'm going to ask you to bow with me. We're going to ask the Lord's blessing as we come to study his word together. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that we can come to the word of God. We can find the help that we need in the days of our trouble and days of our distress. I thank you, Father, that we can come and find truth that will help us to live in a way that is well-pleasing in your sight. That when we come to the end of this life and we stand before our Savior, we might be able to hear those wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Father, I pray that you would teach us the way of humility. That, Lord, we would learn to walk humbly in this present world. That, Lord, we would put into practice this truth in our daily conduct. For Lord, we need to live humbly in this world today. Lord, we struggle with our pride. Each and every one of us here does. But Lord, we know Thy Word can teach us and help us in this day. So Father, we come asking that the Spirit of God would open the eyes of our understanding to help us to see a wonderful truth from Thy law today, that we might grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we may develop this most important of graces, the root of all other graces, humility. We'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it is easier to speak of humility than it is to conduct ourselves in that way. I've chuckled over the last couple weeks. I've had several folks come to me and make some comments as we greet each other at the end. And often it's joking about these thoughts of humility. You know, sometimes we say things about our humility, and it really is kind of funny the way we address it. I've had some come to me and say, you know what, Pastor, you ought to write a book. Humility, how to obtain what I have. I thought about it. You know, sometimes we'll joke, and sometimes I'll say to folks, you know, humility really is the greatest quality that I possess. You know, sometimes it's easier to talk about humility, but humility is one of those graces that is very hard to put into practice. So how do you and I know if we truly possess that grace of humility? How do we know that if there is really within our life, within our daily conduct, this grace of humbling ourselves before God and others? We have considered from the Word of God that the truth is we are to humble ourselves before the Lord and we are to walk humbly before others. How do we know if you and I are truly walking humbly in this present world? There are several ways for you and I to test our lives and to see if we are truly walking humbling in this present world. And I want to begin to consider those together this morning. How do we know? How can we test to see if we are truly walking humbly in this present world? The first test that we can use to determine the humility of our lives is how do we view ourselves in relation to others? We can know if we are walking humbly in this world by the way that we view self in relation to other people. It is easy to speak of humility, but true humility will be seen in the way that we interact with others in our daily conduct. True humility will be found out in your life and mine as we live daily in this world, interacting with other people, when we, in essence, let our guard down. When we are just who we are. When people come and say things to us and the way that we respond to them, is it in pride or humility of life? The way that we look at other people and the way that we view them in relationship to us will tell us whether or not we are walking humbly in this present world or whether we are operating in the spirit of pride. How do we view others in relation to ourselves? You know, over and over again in the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament voice to us the necessity of walking humbly before our fellow man. And I think the reason is this: it is the only way to prove our humility before God is as we show our humility before men. We can talk that we walk humbly in this world, but the only way to prove our humility before God and humility of our life is the way that we walk before men. Are we humble before men? So this morning I want you to see several passages of Scripture which give us this exhortation to walk humbly before other men. And I've asked you to begin in 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to look again at verses 5 and 6. We considered this portion of Scripture briefly at the end of last week's message. 1 Peter chapter 5, Verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We know from that passage of Scripture that all of us, every believer, is to walk humbly before one another. That exhortation is coming to all believers after Peter has just spoken to those who are the elders, those that are given the responsibility to rule even within the church. But all of us have a responsibility, one to the other, younger or older, no matter what position we hold, to walk humbly before each other. Because this truth is known: God resists the proud. But to the grace, to the humble, I should say, he shows his grace. All of us, no matter what position we think we should have, no matter what respect we think should come our way, are to walk humbly before one another and to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Did you know no one is supposed to, within the church, seek for preeminence? No one is to seek to be exalted. No one should seek to have their name lifted up. For to whom does preeminence belong? Colossians 1:18 makes it very clear that Jesus Christ and him alone deserves the preeminence. He alone deserves to be exalted. It is as Jesus Christ is lifted up, as he is exalted, that men will be drawn unto the Father, unto him. We are not to seek to exalt ourselves in the eyes of others. We are to humble ourselves one before another. And God will show to us his grace. Turn with me now, if you would, to that passage we read this morning. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. As I read that passage to you this morning, there is almost no part of that chapter where humility is really not seen. We are reminded to give our life a living sacrifice, which is wholly acceptable unto God, our reasonable service, to no longer be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Why? Because of the mercy of God. Because of the wonderful salvation that he has given unto us. Paul, beginning in verse 3 down through verse 8, really begins to deal with the concepts of our spiritual gifts and the graces that have been given unto us, and how each one is to use those gifts and to serve one another with those gifts, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to take the gifts and the talents that God has given and use them for the edifying of the body of Christ. Humility. Look with me, beginning though in verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Verse 10 tells us the way in which we're supposed to live before one another is that we are to, in honor, prefer one another. Verse 11, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality." Again, the focus is on others. Verse 14, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not." We are to bless those who even do us harm. We are to seek even for their good, not seek to curse them or put them down. Pride is that which curses, but it's the grace of humility that will bless. Verse 15 says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Again, the focus and thought is on others. By the way, it's sometimes a whole lot easier to weep with those who weep than it is to rejoice with those who rejoice when we struggle with our pride. We see others experiencing good and us experiencing bad, it's hard for us to rejoice. We begin to covet. We begin to want what they want. We begin to say that life isn't fair. Folks, all that is our pride being lifted up. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend of men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. We're told not to be high-minded, but to be of the same mind. Not to be lifted up in pride, but instead, we are to condescend of men of lower estate. We should understand that no one is beneath us. Is that your view of other men? Do you believe that there is really no one beneath you? Sometimes we look at folks around us and we see the down and outs and we see the folks who are struggling and we almost look upon them with disdain. That's beneath me. Oh, I could never be involved in that part of the ministry. That's just beneath my talents. Really? I can't come for a work day. That's beneath me. Folks, that's just our pride being exalted. We view ourselves more highly than we ought to. Consider our Lord Jesus and His view of others. The Lord Jesus Christ stooped down from heaven to save all mankind. He condescended to men of lower estate. No one is beneath you and I. He came to this earth. He who was God became man and dwelt among us in this sin-cursed earth, that He might give His life a ransom for you and me. Who are we to think that something or someone is just beneath me? That's only our pride. He goes on. Recompense to no man evil for good. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. By the way, I don't think that means that we try and if it fails once, we kind of quit. It means to strive to live peaceably. And the only reason that you can't live peaceably with someone is because they refuse to live peaceably with you. But on your end, you will be peaceable towards them. He goes on, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. All of those verses, folks, require a humility before men. How do we match up to those verses? In your daily conduct, in your daily interactions with others, in your relationship with your spouse and with your children, in your relationship with your neighbors, in your relationship with your co-workers, in your relationship with others within the church, how do you view yourself as you see them? Are you high and exalted above them? Are they beneath you? When someone does you wrong, what is your response to them? Is it immediately a response of your pride where you have to attack them and receive unto them vengeance? The Bible says that ought not be our response. Instead, we are to overcome evil with good. God wants you and I to allow Him to work through us that we might be His channels of blessing to those around us. Remember, your life in humility is this. I am nothing. God is my all in all. It's not me who lives, it is Christ that liveth through me. I am nothing. That little offense that comes my way, that won't bother me because I am nothing. That task that I was asked to do, which I feel so beneath me, isn't really beneath me because I am nothing. I am doing this that I might serve my Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you walking humbly in this present world? Sir, do you walk humbly before your wife and your children? Mom, are you walking humbly before your husband and your kids? Brothers and sisters in Christ, are you walking humbly before one another? God wants us to be channels of blessing. Turn over now, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Over and again, the scripture teaches us this need to walk humbly before other men. We can say that we are walking humbly before God, but the proof of that is how we walk before our fellow men. Galatians chapter 5, look with me beginning in verse 13. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Use only not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Again, we are told that we are to walk humbly in our relationships with others. We are to, by love, serve one another. As you look at others around you, do you believe that they exist for you to serve them, for them to serve you? Sir, why is your wife in your home? Is she there to serve your every need and meet your every need? Now, in love, she probably does. Are your children there that they can do your chores and do all your tasks? Are they your little slaves? Or are you there to serve them? Others within the church, are they here to serve your needs? Our Master Club workers, our youth workers, are they there, Mom and Dad, simply serve your kids so that there's someone to blame when you fail as a parent? Sometimes that's the mentality we take within the church. It's that youth pastor's fault. It's that youth worker's fault. It's that person down in Master Clubs. Boy, they really failed my kids. Are they there to serve you? Or are you there to work alongside with them and serve one another? By love, serve one another. Not bite, not devour, not bite and not complain. But we are to, by love, serve one another. By the way, when you go to 1 Corinthians 13 and you consider the characteristics of love, what is one of the main characteristics in love? Humility. It vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It seeks not her own. If we are truly going to love one another, we must humble ourselves before one another. The Lord Jesus' words last week taught us that even the Son of God came to minister, and He expects His followers to do likewise. Remember the words of Matthew 20, verse 27 and 28? "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." He came that he might serve. Everything about the Lord Jesus' life speaks to humility. His birth was a humble birth. His life was a humble life. His ministry was a humble ministry. His death was a humble death. Now God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And at that name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess him as Lord. But upon this life, and as he lived before others, he did so humbly. And that's how you and I are supposed to walk before others as well. Humbly. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We often come to this passage and begin in verse 5. I want you to begin in verse 1. Paul writes and says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, If any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We are to walk humbly in this present world before other people. We are to view them higher than we view ourselves. That's the charge that Paul would give to Timothy. To drive home that truth, he would give us that wonderful illustration of Jesus Christ beginning in verse 5. But the exhortation is simply this: not to think of ourselves higher than others, but to esteem others better than ourselves. Looking not to our own things, not being focused on self, but be focused on the needs of others. How do we know if we are walking humbly in this world? How do we know if there is truly that spirit of humility within our heart, within our life, that grace is being developed? The first test is simply this: how do I view myself in relationship to others around me? Do I view them higher, or am I the one that's exalted? Do I think of them first, or is it always about me first? Am I concerned about everyone else's needs, or am I concerned only about mine? Do I desire that everyone else serve me, or am I willing to be the servant of all? How do I view myself in relationship to everybody else? How do you view yourself at work when you're asked to do a task that's really below your pay grade? Well, that's not really my job, isn't it? The way we know that we have the spirit of humility, the way that we know if we have that grace in this present world, is simply to ask ourselves some questions. Let me give these to you this morning and then we'll be done. Number one, do I prefer others over me? If you really want to test to see if there is humility within your life, ask yourself these questions and honestly answer: do I prefer others over me? Do I consider them before I consider myself and my needs? Am I preferring others and honoring them over me? Or do I always seem to come first? Number two, do I compare others to me? Am I constantly comparing other people to me? Do I judge the acts of others by my actions? Am I always thinking of others in relationship to me? They're better or worse than me? Is that how I always think? Am I always comparing myself to other people? You know what? I'm doing pretty good in my spiritual life because I'm not like so-and-so. You better be careful. That's only our pride. Boy, I'm really doing good and I'm serving the Lord because you know what? I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm involved in this. And I look over at brother and sister so-and-so and they're really not here for any of those things that I'm involved in. Be careful that we're not judging others and comparing them to self. When we do those things, we are demonstrating a spirit of pride, not the spirit of humility. Number three, am I jealous of others? Can I do as the scripture says, to truly weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who do rejoice? Or do I covet what others seem to have? Am I always discouraged because I don't have what they have? Am I jealous? Boy, life just doesn't seem to be fair. Boy, they get to go on this vacation, they get to go here, they get to do that, and I don't get to enjoy those things. Boy, everything seems to be so easy for them, and life seems to be so simple, but it's always hard for us. Are we jealous? When those things come within our heart and within our mind, it's a spirit of our pride that's being exalted. We need to rid ourselves and confess our sin and seek humility again. Number four, am I easily offended and slow to forgive? Are you one that always seems to find fault in everyone else and what they're doing? I always feel bad for the person who always has to complain. I always feel bad for people who always have to be critical. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too rainy. It's too sunny. We don't get enough snow. We get too much snow. We get what we get. If it's a little chilly when you walk into the church in the morning, it's okay. It always warms up in here. We could turn off the heat. And by the way, we would turn off the heat in August usually, folks. It's oddity that we have to turn it up to 20 today. But do we have to complain that it's so cold in here? It'll warm up. Don't worry about it. Do we always have to complain about the weather? Do we always have to complain about this or that? Can we not find something to be thankful for? Or are we always offended by everything that everybody does? And nothing is good enough. Boy, Sister So-and-so walked by me today. She didn't even say hi. Well, maybe Sister So-and-so's having a bad day. Pray for her. Don't complain about her. Boy, Brother So-and-so, he was talking to somebody else, but he wouldn't talk to me. Oh, it's okay. Maybe he likes them better than he likes you. You probably like people better than somebody else. Right? It's okay. Do we have to be so easily offended? Do we have to be so slow to forgive? Do you truly struggle to forgive someone when they've hurt you, whether that be intentionally or unintentionally? Some people are known by this trait. They can hold a grudge. And some people almost take pride. I can hold a grudge longer than you can. Not something to be proud of, folks. That's a terrible trait. We are to forgive one another as Christ forgave us. Be kind one to another and tenderhearted as Jesus Christ was toward us. Folks, it's not enough to talk about walking humbly. We have to prove our humility in our daily conduct. When we're vulnerable, when our guard is down, when we think that no one else is watching, are you walking humbly? No one can read your mind. It's a good thing we can. How do you think of others around you? If I were to ask you to write your thoughts down as you scan the room today and you look at the people around you, what would you write down about everyone that you saw? It almost might be frightening for us to do such an exercise. In humility, we're to realize that we are nothing. It's in pride where we think that only what we believe is what matters. Again, I like the words of Andrew Murray when he says, it is in our relationships to one another, in our treatment of one another, that the true lowliness of mind and the humility of heart are to be seen. Our humility before God has no value unless it prepares us to reveal the humility of Jesus to our fellow men. Are you walking humbly in this present world? The first test is, how do I view myself in relation to others? How do I see me as I see them? And folks, when we are exalted and they are put down, it's a spirit of pride. And what we need in this present world is that humility. What we need within the Church of Jesus Christ is a people that will humble themselves one before another in the fear of God. That we would humble ourselves and serve one another. That we would seek to put others first and ourselves last. That we would be more concerned about the needs of those around us than our own needs. That we would be willing to be the servant of all. It is in that humility that God says, I show my grace. It is in that pride that He says, I will resist you. And I will hold you at arm's length. God resisteth the proud, but to the humble He gives His grace. The first test of our humility is simply this. How do I view myself in relation to others? There's two other points that we're going to consider, and we're going to consider them this evening before we come and gather around the Lord's table, and we'll finish off our thoughts on these tonight. Let's go ahead now, though, and bow and ask the Lord's blessing as we close our time in our service this morning. Shall we pray?